We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's OMF on EEI.
We definitely want to speak to some of the things that's been going on in our society. It reminds me of what Dr. Martin Luther King has said, that there is two split different Americas. In one America, you get killed by sleeping in your car, selling cigarettes, or playing in your backyard. And in another America, you get to storm the Capitol, and no tear gas, no massive arrests, no none of that. So I think it's obvious. It's 2021. I don't think anything has changed. We want to still acknowledge that. We want to still push for the change that we're looking for. But as of yet, we have not seen it. We want to continue to keep conversations alive and do our part.
Jaylen Brown, this past hour has been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. Part of what he said, I totally agree with. And I can't speak for black people growing up in the inner city and being treated differently by police and others. And clearly that is an issue. But the one thing I think a lot of people are skipping over here, and Jaylen Brown, I think, just did it. So those people that went there and stormed the Capitol, and I think all three of us have said it should not have happened. Shame on them. They're hoodlums. They're terrorists. Should not happen. And he said no massive arrest. I think 50 were arrested. We're already seeing the names and the background on them today. It's probably more than 50. Yeah. And a 35-year-old woman was shot at and killed by a police officer, just shot straight on in the chest, and she died. Now, she happens to be white. She's a female, and people are, like, ignoring it. And I think if we look at some of the past things that have infuriated us is when a black person was innocently shot at by police, and rightfully so. We should be pissed off. Why aren't we looking at that same incident yesterday? And again, I've already said it. That woman should not have been in the Capitol building. She also shouldn't be shot in the chest.
Man, I tell you what. We spend billions and billions and billions of dollars on defense. Jets, bombs, troops, you name it. And then, honest to God, you can't kind of proactively kind of see what's going on. You're in Washington, D.C. You're at the Capitol building. You don't have all these cameras. They can't see people kind of milling around and hanging out and starting. Like, can't you proactively kind of figure out what is going to happen? So, yeah, you don't have enough cops or police. Glenn, if this – here's the thing. I'm not buying that excuse. I'm not buying – not in today's world. Not today's world. And not in Washington, D.C.
You think it overwhelmed the White House?
Yeah.
I think hey, there's 10,000 people hanging out over here, and we should, just in case, can we bring some more people? Like, I just don't understand, like, why they weren't proactively ready for this. Because how did they get there?
Because on buses and cars? They flew in. People came in for a protest. Everybody knew the protest was going to be there.
I know, but where do you start the protest? Where's the starting line?
But hold on. But that's why Trump is responsible. He directed the people. He directed the people to go to the Capitol building. He did. That was not part of the arrangement. It was going to be a protest. He was speaking at the protest, and he even said, well, maybe I'll come along. So obviously, they just, like the Pied Piper, they followed him, and he never showed up over there.
Yeah,
why he's involved.
I get it. You think they had any word that there could possibly be a protest out in front of the Capitol building that day? Like, you know, like intelligence? I mean, let's face it, Trump's not exactly very intelligent.
You said his name was Brendan?
Put the request out on Twitter. You don't think that they thought? Like, I think the biggest shocker is the lack of resistance. That would be it. The reaction, the lack of resistance. It was just like,
how about
really?
Response?
So I get it. I mean, I get
code red.
You know, I think you can't tell me that they were in on the whole deal, because some people are saying that. I find that hard to believe. They're Capitol Police. They're not really part of the political system.
No, but
I think they were overwhelmed.
Well, I know. Okay, fine. Well, listen, we got issues down here at the Capitol building. Can you unleash the National Guard? And Trump's like, no. I mean, again, and I understand the opinion of Doc Rivers that he said. I mean, imagine if that was, if it was like, you know, if it wasn't just a bunch of white people out there and they're black people. Do you think the National Guard would have been there before or sooner? You think it would have been more resistance?
I'm not sure the National Guard would, maybe, but maybe the local police.
The National Guard would have been there a lot quicker.
Check out this quote from the New York Times. It says, inside the Capitol, an officer pleaded with a man in a green backpack saying, "You guys just need to go outside." When asked why they weren't expelling the protesters, the officer said, quote, "We've just got to let them do their thing now."
Yeah,
while they were inside the Capitol building.
That's what I mean.
That was their approach.
Good God.
Let's also
remember.
That's
the same thing from the summer. That's the same thing.
That's what we did in the summer and the fall. I think the biggest fear that police have in that situation, and one of them made a mistake by shooting somebody, is they're scared to death of dealing with those crowds coming at them. They're overwhelmed. We saw that in the summer and the fall. They took over cities, guys, and the police got out. A police station was evacuated in Minneapolis, and they burned it to the ground. They didn't resist them. They didn't push them back. They didn't try to do anything. They left and let them take it over. They let them take over a whole city block in Seattle for 2 months.
No, but I understand that. I mean, you're right.
There's no National Guard there.
You're right. And a police station, to me, still isn't the Capitol building. Like, it's, you know, it's the freaking Capitol building.
While the Electoral College was counting votes.
I mean, exactly.
I'm not arguing the point, Lou. I'm just saying
But don't you think there should be a stronger defense? Like, you think, like, you should just sit there and say at the Capitol building, like, hey, you know what? Nothing we can do. Seriously.
I think we're going to find out that they were just simply overwhelmed and outnumbered. I don't think they were with the whole deal. And it happened so quickly. And that's why I clearly can see the criticism for Trump, because he inflamed it by telling them to go down there. Now, if you're going to tell them to go down there, you better tell them to be peaceful and not try to go through the windows or whatever. So shame on him. Let's get some reaction from people out there at 617-779.
Should go well.
793.7. Here's Sawyer down in the Cape. Sawyer.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
I think you're sort of just missing the fundamental point that Jalen and Jason were making. It's that if, and you touched on it a bit, but if those were a bunch of black protesters, they're not given the same common courtesy that these people are given. They're not walked out of the...
Appreciate it. And we did mention that. As a matter of fact, I've mentioned it more than once.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that the fact that they were nicely asking them to leave makes no sense at all. And clearly there needs to be an investigation of the Capitol Police and how it was handled. But let's also remember that all summer long and in the fall, the police allowed the protesters to not only protest, but to loot and destroy businesses. We saw all those videos all summer and all fall. It's not like the police suddenly showed up and because there were black people that were showing up and rioting that they were shooting them all. That didn't happen. Let's go to John. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hello, yes. I just wanted to say that I remember when the Black Lives Matter and Antifa attacked President Trump in Washington, nobody cried about President Trump going into the bunker.
Yeah, that was a scary situation, too. And again, the police
take over the White House.
Well, I forgot. That was a real problem
because they were. Go ahead.
Were they bailed out by all the politicians? Did the judges dismiss all the cases of arson, theft, and assault and battery on officers blatantly in front of people? And then I was going to ask.
You tell me. Followed the cases?
They got bailed out. I heard everybody on the radio saying that it was all the right wingers and the Boogaloo boys that infiltrated the BLM and Antifa to make them look bad. That's what everybody said. And I saw all the mayors and all the governors and everybody out there marching with them and organizing the Black Lives Matter rallies. And they attacked the president, and nobody was worried about the president then. That's our highest official in the nation. They're all worried about Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein.
All right, so see, that's the problem we have in all of this, is that both sides are kind of doing similar stuff. Both sides might have, I don't know, maybe even legitimate gripes about the stuff that's going on. And yet, if you agree with one side, you're sitting there and saying, it's justifiable what our side is doing, the other side is complete destruction. I look at it and I see it's wrong on both sides. What am I missing here? Is it not wrong on both sides?
What you're missing is the new America. There is no middle of the road anymore. You know, it's either one or the other, and that's the sad part.
That's a problem
you know?
I have.
I'm just saying, that's the sad part. You know, that's where you get people that sit there and say, well, you know, if you're conservative, then you support what happened in the Capitol building. I mean, people have lost their freaking minds if you think anybody supports what the hell you saw yesterday. It's painful. Like, that guy right there, like, I asked him if he followed me. He said, yeah, you listen to people on the radio. Okay, let's... Maybe you should look into it more than before you talk. That's
yeah,
all.
But in one point, he's right. If you remember in Minneapolis, the rioters out there were bailed out. And they were bailed out by who? By support from Joe Biden, yeah. Kamala Harris.
People that are arrested for trespassing. You think they're going to get bailed out?
No, I don't. If they do, we should be very critical. If anybody from the right or anybody from the Trump organization is bailing them out, we should be critical. That's despicable. Mm-hmm. They committed a crime. They should pay the price for that crime in the same respect that those who burnt down Minneapolis and Seattle and Portland should pay the price as well, shouldn't they?
Oh, listen, I agree. And, you know, I don't want to see anybody, you know, hurt or God forbid, killed. Like you mentioned, that one woman that was shot. But, you know, it's just like the same thing that we were talking about, you know, over the summer. I mean, you stormed the Capitol building. You know, federal officers are pointing a gun at you, and you continue to storm the building going through windows.
Like, I mean,
that's called putting yourself in a situation that isn't good.
Yep.
And things like that happen, unfortunately.
And that's kind of my point with the line. There is no line anymore. Like you said, you keep saying the Capitol building, but it's almost like it's not nearly doesn't have the meaning that it should. So if the Capitol building is fair game, what's next?
Well, we've already seen it, though,
Christian.
What's next?
If you're angry, this is my issue with just anyone who's burning something down, like, or destroying something out of anger or frustration. Like, so where do you draw the line? Like, you can't just start destroying stuff because you're
pissed off. But the line's already been crossed. The line's already been crossed.
That's my point. Because my point is there is no line.
So people have attacked the Supreme Court building. People have attacked federal buildings. People, what do? Do you start shooting at people that show up at a federal building?
Well, at some point.
And go through barriers. Do you start shooting them? That would be mayhem.
Of course not. But, like, if there's going to be something bigger and more egregious and more embarrassing and insulting, because if this is acceptable and if you're going to say, what am I going to do, let him go? Like, you're again, it's a federal building.
Yeah.
This is like, we're not talking about, you know, some Kennesaw, you know, police station, even though I think that's despicable also, or some strip mall in San Diego. It's the Washington, D.C., it's a federal building. So, and then you don't proactively stop them. I think the line needs to be drawn in the sand. And I don't care who you are. If you're unruly, disruptive, and trying to create mayhem just because, then you're going to be dealt with. And you will be prosecuted. And you will go to jail.
I think every one of these people that were in that yesterday should be prosecuted. And I think that the people that were doing destruction this past summer and fall should have been prosecuted. And maybe if they have to pay the price for some of this stuff, maybe the next person won't do it. Maybe they'll be intimidated a little bit. I'm not seeing that. Oliver's in Dorchester. Oliver.
So I must say this. I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I feel like y'all are all missing a huge point in that. I understand. First of all, I feel like anybody who says that there's a comparison to what happened yesterday in the summer, it's like what happened during the summer was because people lost lives. That's not what happened yesterday. Nobody lost a life. Someone lost a life yesterday, yes. But the reason that they were out there at the Capitol wasn't because somebody lost a life. So just that premise alone, as a black man, when I hear y'all say, oh, it's the same thing as the summer. It's like, no, the reason you were there was different. So as a person who feels that way, I don't feel bad about the woman who lost her life yesterday. She shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean?
Well, and, so let me ask you.
Check it out. Wait. Let me finish my point.
Okay.
Because you're misrepresenting what we're saying, which is the first problem.
But that's why I was going to jump in. But go ahead.
No.
Yeah, you are. Oh, no. You're clearly.
Let him go. Go ahead. What's your, finish your point first.
What I'm saying, you say I'm misrepresenting, you let me know so that I can be clear about how, because I don't want to get
yesterday
my point
wrong. Yesterday was a, again, I'm going to repeat it, Oliver, for the fifth time, okay? And these guys have done the same thing. Hold on.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Despicable act yesterday. Okay, Oliver, we can't do it if you don't want to have a conversation.
How you're different, and then, so you think that what the rioting and the looting and the attack on the police officers at night, not the peaceful protests, they had the right to do that because somebody lost a life?
Oh, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Words you're putting in
what
our mouths.
So what I'm saying is this. All right, so this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the people who were at the Capitol yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason they were there was because of the vote, correct?
True.
How they felt about the vote or the election or however you want to put the people want to phrase it, right?
Yes.
What I'm saying to you is the people during the summer.
Yes.
What I'm saying to you is the people who protest during the summer, peaceful or peaceful on both sides, I'm saying to you, right, were there, those things happened because people were killed.
Agreed.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, we're not. Listen, hold on, Oliver. We're not comparing the peaceful protest, the Black Lives, the marches on the streets, to what happened at Capitol
building. We're
comparing 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night. Those people, you know, they weren't part of a peaceful march.
No, they were taking advantage of that. They were taking advantage of somebody who died.
Listen to what I'm saying. On both sides, people are wrong. I agree with you on that. But what I am telling you is that deeper than that, the root of why people are doing what they do has to do with their justification. I'm not telling you that it's the right thing or the wrong thing. But what I am telling you is that the reason that people feel, as a person who's been out in the streets, I'm telling you that it's like there are people who feel like that at the end of the day, everything that went down yesterday, when you say they're going to be prosecuted to the full extent, a lot of black people feel like, what is that? They're not going to be killed, so who cares? Because if
somebody
were
was
us,
killed,
we'd be killed.
Okay.
No. What I'm saying
is, Oliver, is it justified then, as Lou pointed out, for what people did this summer in the fall at night? Was that justified behavior? I understand people being upset with what happened. Okay, somebody was killed, and they were unfairly killed. It was a murder by a cop. I get that. I understand it. But did that justify other people being killed and destruction?
What I'm telling you is this. It doesn't justify it, but what I'm telling
you
is this. As a society, as a country, right, when you're not heard, as a person who's been out there and been a part of it, what I'm telling you, and I'm not even saying that I was right. That's not what I'm telling you. But what I am telling you is that a person who feels that way, it's like, if I have to do something to get your attention, that's what I'm going to do.
Violence is never the way. Never the way to do it. It's not the way to do it.
But see, thing is like, too, like the whole, I get it, you know, passionate. You have different, you know, different things, you know, you're passionate about. And of course, the Black Lives movement, like to its truest extent, you know, like just to its truest meaning, everybody understands it. All right. As far as just equality, everything. But those people, those crazy whack jobs will probably tell you that election was just as important to them. Like, they were just passionate about it. You could disagree. I disagree that you would go that far over it. But they would probably tell you the same thing.
Well, they
you could disagree with, you know, reasons why.
Yeah, why can't we listen to both sides? Why can't Oliver, and I understand what his point is, and he's right. People were justified.
And you can have an opinion on which side has got a better cause. There's no question.
I'm just saying,
some people just very passionate, felt very strongly.
But we're not going to listen? The rest of the country, 50% of 48 to 49% of the country, 52% of the country, is not going to listen to the 48% who might be sitting there saying the election was rigged? At least there should be some type of investigation. I mean, we've got to understand, start listening to each other. I'm not saying that the election was rigged. I don't believe it was. But some people believe that. And they're, you know, and it does not justify violence. All right, 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. So John McClain, Houston Chronicle, says it will not be Josh McDaniels as the coach of the Houston Texans. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. A lot of pressure down there. The media, the fan base, not real happy with Nick Caserio. So it probably puts pressure on the ownership to sit there and say, okay, here's the deal, Jack Easterby. You can bring in Caserio, but you can't bring in the coach as well because we're getting too much heat, right? Is that fair to say?
I don't think you would need to tell him that. I don't think a guy like that is going to be paid that much money. So he's agreeing to take that job, and then he's going to allow himself to be regulated on what he can and can't do. Like, his job is to do what's best for the team, to build a team. So you can't tell me that ownership would say, yeah, or Jack Easterby would say, yeah, you know what, fan base, Deshaun Watson, they're just not going to want another Bill Belichick coach. I mean, there's a bunch of them that are out there. So
yeah, I think that's a problem right now for
what is
for the McClain family. I think that is a problem for ownership. They're getting so much heat with this deal with Nick Caserio. By the way, we all questioned yesterday, what the hell is Nick Caserio doing? Why would you go take that job? We ran down what their draft picks are in the next couple years. We talked about how much they were over the cap. Then we learned today he got a 6-year deal for how much? Yeah. $5 million a year?
Whatever. He's top three.
Top three GMs general manager in the league. And I apologize. I totally understand why he took that job. It's best for his family.
You do now. I mean, you could easily ask the question, based on what? You know, like this guy gets that kind of a deal? But, hey, now you understand it. 6-year deal? I don't know if he sees the end of it. I have no idea if he sees the end of it, because I don't think people in Houston have a very long leash for, you know, former New England Patriots, whatevers at this point, whether it's head coaches, defensive coordinators, you name it, now GMs.
Can we bring up, based on what? What has he done that gives the idea that he is worth paying as the third highest paid general manager?
I mean, they played it off like he was like the guy behind like all the dynasty of the New England Patriots.
Well, wait a minute. You've criticized the drafting over the last 5 years. So if you take the drafting and you say that Nick Caserio was the one that drafted for the last 5 years, is that top three general manager in the league? Yeah.
I just think he's a runner. I don't think he's anything to do with anything. I think he puts a list of guys together, and Bill picks who the hell he wants. So, yeah, I mean,
God bless him. Any different than any of the other guys that were never nobody ever had the GM title. Not even Scott Pioli had the GM. None of them have had it. So, saying that you're drafting, or sorry, you're paying the, director of pro scouting, director of pro player personnel, like with the Patriots, that's the GM. Now, I think it's kind of, just dismissive to kind of look at him and say, oh, he's just a runner. He's not doing anything. Bill ultimately makes the decision. Sure. I mean, I guess he could kind of, say no. But I think it's more of a partnership than anything, just like it was with Scott Pioli, Robinson. List all the guys that came through.
Yeah, listen, it probably is unfair, but a lot that goes on down there at Gillette. We're just left to kind of form our own opinions because we don't hear a goddamn thing from anybody.
Yeah, don't you think
whatever.
It's more
that's
just
I think he
based
is.
On that? Like, when you say based on what, I would say based on that. Like, based on the fact that, nobody knows what's going on. It's a lot of reputation. It's a lot of, hey, maybe it's just I've been in the same spot for so many years, and maybe it's just because he's got a friendship with Jack Easterby. Like, maybe that's what it is.
Well, wait a minute. You saw the money he got today. Why wouldn't he take that gig? Even if he put a list down, Christian, on a legal pad of pros and cons, and there were probably 12 cons, and on the pro list, he had 6 years, $30 million or whatever. That's all you need. It negates all 12 of the negatives side of the ledger.
But based on where they're at and like all their draft picks, you kind of have to give them 6 years. You can't give them three. You can't give them four. Based on just, where you're at in the draft and how long it's going to take them just to kind of, get those draft picks back and just kind of fix the problem, recoup the money. I mean, that's a 2-year situation.
If you're Caserio, you're like, listen, I want the opportunity to have this job, but, we all know, look at the next couple of years, the situation, we're just going to take a little bit of time. So in order for me to take it, you've got to guarantee some years here now. We got to have a little bit of length on top of this thing to show me that you are committed. You know, this won't be, you know, 2 or 3 years for me to rebuild and then bring the next guy in, you know, the foundation that I started to build. So he, good for him. Listen, he got the deal, but I would just, I don't know. I mean, to be the third highest GM, we all know how that works. You know, the next GM to be hired, you know, he might be the highest GM, right? Just the next guy that gets paid gets more money. But I don't know. I would want to know for sure that I am hiring somebody that built something, like the guy up there in Buffalo. I know he built something.
Bean up
yeah,
here. He's
I know that
job.
Guy built something.
Yeah, Brandon Bean.
Casario, I'm not so sure what the hell his role is.
I don't think Brandon Bean's making anywhere close to that money. I'd like.
Well,
I don't
know. Maybe not now, but I mean, he's been in the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years.
Yeah, it's still
so
Buffalo.
He's still getting a raise. He's going to sit there and look at Nick Casario and say, I want Nick Casario money.
See, I think this is one of those.
John Schneider money.
Jack Easterby was part of this organization, but I don't know. You tell me, Kristen. I'm not sure he was that close to the operation of Belichick and Casario and all of the people in the personnel department.
I feel like he's the guy that comes into the small village, hypnotizes everybody.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, steals all their money.
Yes, I told you, the movie is going to be awesome, yeah. Easterby.
He's the guy that comes in, hey, you need a monorail. What? So, I need a monorail.
I thought that was one of the biggest shots I've ever heard from Bill, to be honest with you, when they asked him about
Easterby. Yes, that was a shot.
And he talked about how he's a nice guy and how he's built relationships and how he's done so much for the organization, and he thanks him. And someone said something about player personnel, and he's like, oh, no. Yeah. He's not a personnel guy. Like, that
was
like a dig.
So what did he do? Did he go to the – because it's the McLean family now, right? It's the kids. Does he go to them and basically say, hey, listen.
The McNairs.
What's that?
The McNairs, not the McLeans.
The McNairs. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not John McLean.
With John McLean. Who does not own the McNairs? I'm sorry. Does he go to the family, the McNair family, and basically said, Bill Belichick had nothing to do with any of the personnel up there. It was all Nick Casario
and me,
right? And me, right? Bring him in here, and the two of us are going to be able to deal with this. And if you're Nick Casario, I guess the money, tops everything. But are you not fearful that Easterby has got them in a trance right now,
yeah,
and that he can do whatever he wants? That maybe he's sitting there overseeing Casario, and he says, no, let's not do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. Yeah. Wouldn't you worry about it if you're Nick Casario?
Yeah, I would say, though, I think Nick is ready. I think Nick is beyond ready. He's been there for 20 years. He's seen every last thing that goes on. Now, he's ultimately going to be judged by the players he brings in. And, you know, if you're judging him on the past 3 drafts with the Patriots, I can say, you know, you don't look too good. You don't look too good at all, because that's ultimately – so that some GMs have the ability to hire the coach just because, you know, of what's happening. And that's what he's going to be able to do.
All right, the question
that's what happened with Bean up in Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, he was able to hire the coach. He brought in Sean McDermott. Like, his fingerprints are all over that Buffalo Bills program. I mean, that's why he's the executive of the year for a reason.
It was new ownership who knew nothing about it, okay, and just handed the keys over to him. Easterby is above Nick Casario down there in Houston.
How do you know? How do you know Easterby is his boss? I don't think he's his boss. Is he vice president? Is he the president of football ops? Like, what is his title?
No, he's the overall president of the Houston Texans right now. Is he not?
I guess
isn't that his title? So I think Casario's playing with one hand tied behind his back based on everything we said yesterday. Could he be hit with something else? And that is a disgruntled quarterback who wants to be traded. Patriots. We get to that coming up next right here on OMF.
Get social on Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
I think Deshaun Watson is probably pretty upset that the Texans won't even interview Eric Bieniemy. Deshaun Watson is very close to Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure Mahomes is saying, you would be killer with Eric Bieniemy. I don't quite understand it, really. Who wouldn't want to interview a guy who's been at the right hand of Andy Reid for 8 years in Kansas City and watch that whole thing get built the right way? You know, it's not the first thing that the Texans have done that made me scratch my head, but it certainly is the current one.
That's Peter King. I'm with Dale and Keith. This is interesting. So Could they have a disgruntled quarterback? We talked a lot about Deshaun Watson yesterday. I think we all agreed top five quarterback in the league. Certainly, Bill Belichick's got to have great respect knowing he tore his defense apart here just a couple of months ago. And if he's pissed off, let's face it, they're not going to win. If you're Deshaun Watson, you know what your team's going to look like for the next couple of years. And then they bring in a coach you don't like. They're going to have to bring him in the process, I think, of the coach. And you don't get the guy you want. Could he? And Houston's a great place to do it. We're already seeing it right now with James Harden in the NBA. Could he sit there and say, I want to be traded? Apparently, there are rumors out there that he's talked with teammates right now about the possibility of requesting a trade. Ooh, this is interesting.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I don't know who has the assets to trade for Deshaun Watson. You're going to have a lot of draft picks, a lot of first-round draft picks. Second, just look what Adams from Seattle got, a safety, a strong safety. The Jets got two first. Okay, so what do you think Deshaun Watson is going to get? No freaking way is he getting traded. I will say this. Listen, Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job. And I can easily understand Deshaun Watson saying, you know, what's the dealio? What's happening? Because you sit there, and for some reason, Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, isn't kind of getting the respect that all these other coordinators or coaches from other teams who've had. I would just use the Patriots as an example. You could easily sit there and say Tom Brady is really the elixir to win games. It's not Charlie Weiss. It's not Josh McDaniels. It's not Bill O'Brien. It's not any of these guys. It's none of them. It's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's system. That's why you were so good. That doesn't necessarily mean, but they get head coaching jobs. They constantly get opportunities. And Bieniemy seems to me like he's been leapfrogged by a bunch of other offensive coordinators in the league.
Yeah, but he's got
and
the same issue.
And he's done nothing wrong.
He's got the same issue. He's got the best quarterback in the league and a guy that's a generational player.
So did Josh McDaniels.
Right.
So did Bill O'Brien.
Right.
So did Charlie Weiss.
Right. And usually
people
that great
think that Andy Reid runs the offense.
But usually that great quarterback gets you one of those jobs.
Yes.
Right? Like
except,
that's the thing.
Except that I think people, the perception is that Andy Reid runs that offense in the same respect that I think, and that's why the Matt Patricia thing was bizarre and the Flores thing was a little strange, in that people, the perception with the Patriots was, it's always Bill Belichick's defense, right?
Yeah, but there have been other coordinators, Doug Peterson, for example, that have other coaches and coordinators that have worked under Andy Reid that have gotten head coaching jobs that haven't had near the success that Eric Bieniemy has been, and it's still been Andy Reid's offense. So I don't think he is getting the respect that he deserves. And I would say that last year I think he kind of realized it because he was the running backs coach and the offensive coordinator. He took that title away from himself. He was just the offensive coordinator, almost to kind of dress it up a little bit. You know, it's like, let me just show that I am strictly the offensive coordinator and I'm overseeing everybody. So, and then there's this talk about, okay, it's a, you know, Andy Reid has the plays, or Eric Bieniemy calls the plays in, and then, or Andy Reid tells Eric what to call, and then he sends it into the quarterback, or Patrick Mahomes just freelances on his own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do wonder, too, talk about, like, Deshaun Watson. I laugh, right, because that guy, the Houston Chronicle, John McClain, talking about how, you know, even if he asks for a trade, they're not going to trade him, Deshaun Watson. Oh, really?
Good luck.
Really?
Yeah, that
like
never
so
worked.
Deshaun Watson comes out and demands a trade. His agent calls Houston, demands a trade. First off, he says the organization's not foolish enough to trade him. Oh, really? I would ask you that same question. Really?
Based on what?
Given, exactly.
Didn't
based
they trade
on what?
Away their number one receiver.
Give away
ago?
DeAndre
sure
Hopkins. You know what I mean? For whatever it was, a second round pick, and thought David Johnson was going to get it done. So it's like nothing. First off, yeah, I think if Deshaun Watson wants out, we've seen this in sports. He can get out. And I think Florio is the one that brought up the contract. He just signed a huge deal. But apparently the way it's structured, it's not that outrageous. It's like $21 million.
Dead cap.
And dead cap. So it's not like, it's not crazy.
No.
But I wonder if, you know, Caserio going to Houston, if your dream is for the Patriots to trade for Deshaun Watson, hurts that chance.
See, that's an interesting one. Because I think a lot of people would look at it and say,
he can't go to Houston and then turn around in the offseason and trade Deshaun back to New England.
Yeah.
And can't do that.
Right. That would look really bad. You know, suddenly you're down there and you're dealing the best player. Could you imagine? They're already outraged right now that Caserio is down there. They don't want anybody from the New England Patriots, probably the reason that Josh McDaniels is not going to be the coach down there. And then on top of that, you trade away Deshaun Watson to the New England Patriots.
Well, let me ask you this.
I don't care if you get 10 first-round draft picks.
Let me give you this one. You guys tell me how this conversation would go, okay? Caserio picks up the phone and calls Bill Belichick and says, Bill, you interested in Deshaun Watson? Right? Bill obviously says, of course. What do you want from him? And Caserio says, you.
No, great point, Luke.
What do you do?
No way. No way in hell.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean? What does Bill do? Bill says thank you, but no thank you.
I won't bring a Billy O'Brien or Romeo Crennel. No, I won't bring someone off his coaching tree. No. I'll bring you Bill.
Okay, now you're just
Well, I'm just saying I'd do that in a heartbeat. If I was a Patriots fan. If I was Robert Kraft, I'd do that in a heartbeat. If I was Jonathan.
Yeah, okay. No.
It's going to take more picks.
Deshaun, this is not the NBA. You can't just kind of pout and get traded, especially if after they just paid you a truckload of money and they already know that you're the man. It's going to cost them so much. Whoever trades it's ridiculous.
How about this? How about
so if you're Carson Wentz, you can't pout and get traded even though the organization's going to eat $60 million?
How about this, guys?
Listen, if you say, okay, give me, if you're saying Aaron Rodgers in his prime, I'll do the trade. Swap. You want Patrick Mahomes? Even swap. Good.
Okay, let me give you one. First-round pick this year, which is number 15. First-round pick next year, and you think if you're Bill with Deshaun Watson, you're going to have 11 wins next year, so you're giving that pick up. You give Steph Gilmore's part of the deal, and you give a couple of other later draft picks. How about that?
They're not high enough.
And Bill.
They're not high enough. There's no way you're
talking about back. Adams, though. Yeah, they were giving Seattle's draft picks away. So those aren't high. Those aren't high draft picks.
I think this is ridiculous. I feel like this has more to do with Eric Bieniemy and that movement. And, you know, and there's a lot of truth to it.
Okay, but we talked yesterday about the Patriots not going for one of the kits, and we're going to actually talk with a NFL draft guru coming up, Dane Bugler coming up here at the top of the hour. But we talked yesterday about it. Number 15, you're probably not going to find that quarterback, all right? But if you could give up 15, you give up your first round next year, you give up a second, a fourth, or whatever, and you give up Gilmore, and you could get Deshaun Watson with all of the additional money that you have, $60 to $80 million, to put in defensive players, veterans, and oh, yeah, by the way, you'll get a wide receiver to come to New England to catch a ball that's being thrown by Deshaun Watson.
Although he's gonna
You're crazy not to do that deal.
I'd agree, but he's going to eat up some of that money you keep throwing around, right? Deshaun Watson will.
Yeah, but you're freeing up that money because you don't have the Brady dead cap money. You don't have Cam's money, so you're going to give up money. Yeah.
If it was just Bill and Gilmore, I'm going to try to include Bill.
You're trying to get rid of Bill.
I'm just trying to include Bill.
This is something you've been working on for a while.
Gerard Mayo can be the head coach.
You wore him down on Monday, and now you're trying to unload him.
Nobody knows more about football than he does.
Patriots can hire Eric Bieniemy.
You know the bring goal. You know what's on the board. I know you haven't been in the studio in a while, Lou. But on the board to your left is our quarterback. Sorry, realistic wish list QB list.
I'm going to put Deshaun Watson for Bill.
That is not on the list.
I'm going to do it during the break.
This is a guy who's just, you know, really, it's a really weak threat. Like Nick Caserio, the ink isn't even dry on his contract yet, and he's already having issues, rumored issues. But who do you think the first person Nick Caserio is going to call? The first person you think he's going to call?
Well, he's going to call Bill.
He's going to call Deshaun Watson. No, he's not calling Bill. He's calling Deshaun Watson. What's the problem? Let's meet for lunch.
Hello.
What do you think? Hey, listen, we're in this together. That whole thing. And don't think that
we're
not
in this together.
I'm telling you, the guy.
Been hearing that all year.
I should get buzzed. I should get buzzed for that. The guy that I would, if I'm Nick Caserio, I don't bring Josh McDaniels. I do not. If I'm going to, you know, pick from that Patriot tree, I'm getting Brian Daboll. That is the guy I am getting. I'm getting him. That's the guy. He's the best coach. Not Josh McDaniels. It's Brian Daboll. He has a better track record of fixing, developing young quarterbacks.
But listen,
he does.
We know that if you're the star player on the team, and right now he's got all the leverage in the world. Deshaun Watson does. He signed a 4-year deal. It doesn't start until this year, by the way. His base salary for this upcoming season, 2021, is $10.5 million. Okay? So he's going to have some leverage in all of this. And the Bieniemy thing may be true. And if they suddenly say, no, we're not going to get, Jack Easterby says, hell no, we're not going to go get Eric Bieniemy, he will squawk, will he not? He might complain. If we're hearing rumors right now that he's already talking to teammates about this possibility of demanding a trade, why do we not think there's something to this?
And now, I also think that it's ridiculous that even if he asks for one, they're not going to do it.
Exactly.
I mean, I just don't believe that. And you said, like you said, Christian, I know it's not the NBA, but still, it's like he can get out. He can absolutely get out. And honestly, like Casera could look at it and say, I know I just walked in here with the quarterback of my dreams, you know, but, you know.
Okay. You know who you
can
get out of?
I can actually get what? How many first-round picks can I get for this guy?
You know, trade him. You know what I'll trade with? If I'm Nick Caserio, the only guy I'm working the phones with is Jacksonville. I'll give you Deshaun Watson. I'll get Trevor Lawrence. Fine. But that's I'm good with that. You want to go like for like? You want a young quarterback that's already established? It's got at least 7 to 8 years on him? Go ahead.
Well, that's why I think it's ridiculous to shut the door. You're absolutely right. Give me number one.
Sure.
You know, give me another number one, maybe. I don't know. And throw in another second.
The value on an established quarterback that's already a top five quarterback is through the roof.
That's under contract for the next, what, 4 or 5 years?
Through the roof. So, fine. Well, I mean, because
he hasn't even started the new deal, Lou.
Yeah, 5 years.
4 years, $156 million. Here's the other caveat into all of this, because the Jacksonville one you just brought up is an interesting one. If I'm Houston, I'm sitting there going,
Picks up the ass, too.
I'm willing to do it for the number one pick. And with Jacksonville, though, I think Jacksonville doesn't do that because you're building from nothing, and
why?
Trevor Lawrence gives you a start.
Hold on, one more
asset of the contract. Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause.
He can decide
where he wants to go.
It's not happening then.
He's not going to Jacksonville.
He ain't going to Jacksonville.
No freaking way.
So that's okay. So that is
what if Dabo? What if Dabo Sweeney gets the job?
Now you got my interest.
There's always a way, boys. There's always a way. What if Bill gets traded to Jacksonville?
I think this is a fascinating story.
You may have something there because
Dabo and Deshaun to Jacksonville.
I think that is a good deal. So you're going to have Trevor
DJ
Lawrence,
Chark,
who could or couldn't be a great. Well, listen, if he goes to
Robinson,
Jacksonville, then Dabo is just going to bring Trevor Lawrence with him anyway. So I mean, he's a win-win situation for if that happens. No, I'm bringing in Brian Daboll. I got the first pick. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence and have his college coach there with him. That doesn't work.
Okay, so let's get back to the Patriots' point of view. Would you give up an awful lot? If you look at your team at 7-9, you were able to go 7-9 with Cam Newton as your quarterback. So, and you have $60 to $80 million. You're not giving him an awful lot next year. It's the year after that that you're going to have to give him money. So, why wouldn't you do that deal? Load up on other players. You're going to find a receiver that wants to be on the other end of Deshaun Watson's passes. I would give up an awful lot if I'm Bill Belichick.
I agree.
To get Deshaun Watson. That solves your problem. You want a quick rebuild? That's it right there.
I agree 100%. And given my
draft. You really want to piss off the people of Houston? Go ahead. Bring in a Bill Belichick guy that's been there for 20 years. And then, give away your most prized asset to the team he just left.
Yes.
Oh, that's not even close. No, listen, are we in Imagination Land?
Yes, we are.
I knew it.
It's not about whether Casario would do it, but would you as a Patriot fan do it? I think it's obvious. And that would probably put the end to Casario's time in Houston.
Oh, yeah, he'd be
I mean, really, we're
so
talking
quick.
About the leash that he has. You know, they already hate him for the O'Brien, right? For the Hopkins deal. Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
This guy comes in and goes to Sean, but you absolutely do it. Yeah. You're absolutely 100% correct. You get that free agent wide receiver that wants to play with him. Maybe you get a veteran tight end that wants to play with him. And then you let Bill do his thing with these, whatever, off-the-street free agents. Yeah, you absolutely do. It's one way to get back quick.
Turn this thing around.
But like Christian said, it's a little imagination land because Casario could never do that.
As you would say, Lou, what's Belichick going to do with those draft picks anyway?
Well, I'll tell you what, that dream.
Give them all away.
That dream that you have of Deshaun, we'd be having real conversations Maybe if Caserio didn't take this job.
Yeah, I think that's
why it goes back to if this guy gets traded, you're out. Like, I think you're out because they hired Nick Caserio. You're out. That's going to hurt you if this guy is available.
Can you imagine, though, if Caserio, with that job, the first move he makes is he deals away Deshaun Watson, and he has to now. Deals him away, but he deals him away to the New England Patriots. I think you're right. That's a big problem right now. That's a roadblock because the people in Houston would be up in arms. This hour's been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. You're going to hear from a lot of NFL draft experts. We don't usually do an awful lot of them. You do a couple of them during the offseason or whatever. But because the Patriots are going to be so much focused on this draft and high up in the draft, we'll probably do a lot more than normal. Dane Buechler of The Athletic. He's one of those dudes. We talk to him coming up next.